Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. And a little while ago, in fact, a couple of months ago, I wanted to do this show. It was Autism Awareness Month. And having some return guests who were here a couple of years ago on Copper Country Today that were putting together the Copper Country Autism Awareness Group and some of the things that they had going on. My first effort was to reach out to Michael Gillis. And at that time, he couldn't join because they were enjoying themselves in Arizona, I believe, in Florida, with Kathy Longtoe is also here. She was enjoying herself in Florida, but they made it back here for June. Good timing for the weather. And we're now going to do that program that we could have done in April, but autism is still, it's not something that's going to go away or be seasonal, so it's still a relevant program. Michael and Kathy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rick.
Just for those that, maybe aren't familiar with you and your story and why, this is important for you, can you kind of give us the background of, just how you kind of got wrapped up in this?
Well, it happened several years ago. We have a grandson in Lakeland, Florida, who has autism. And I would go to Lakeland, and we would participate in the autism walk, and I learned a lot about autism. And then I come back to the Copper Country, and I didn't feel like there was any awareness about autism here. And I thought there has to be autism, with one in 68 children having autism. So I talked with Mike and his wife Marion, and we decided that maybe we could bring some awareness to the Copper Country about autism and help the families and also the schools. And it was just like a wide idea that we had, that maybe we could do something for autism in this area.
Now, when you started putting the pieces together, did you find that there were quite a few families that were also affected by this?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Okay.
What was their reaction to, your efforts in starting?
Well, it's very slow going. It's like anything else. A lot of parents don't even want to admit that their child has a disorder. A lot of parents are so busy. They have jobs. They deal with autism every day. And so to come to a meeting or get involved with an organization, it's very difficult for them. There's usually no babysitting for them. So it's very slow going to get parents involved. And so that's really been a goal of ours, to get parents involved, for them to tell us what they need.
Now, you're going in on your third year. Mike, can you talk about how your organization has grown and developed over that time?
Sure. We started out, like Kathy said, just with some kind of vague ideas of what we wanted to do. We knew we wanted to help people in the area who were dealing with children on the autism spectrum, and not knowing exactly what to do. And we came up initially with the idea of the Family Fun Day, and that's been just a tremendous success. We've had 3 years in a row now, and it's grown considerably each year. And as we've gone through the years, we've been able to raise a fair amount of funds, which gave us the ability to expand some of our programs. Last year was our first year that we started a program to assist our local school districts. We sent out letters to all the school districts in our Copper Country area, inviting them to come to us with needs for their special education classes, particularly things to help the children with autism. And we were able to give financial grants to several of the schools. I think we provided to three schools last year, Lakeland and Howell Schools, Adams Township, and Dollar Bay Schools. And we probably will be continuing that. We're kind of mulling over now that, as I said, this whole thing is kind of growing. We're not sure whether we're going to continue the once a year grant or just become a resource to the schools, letting the schools know that when they have a specific need that they can come to us, and if we have the funds, we will be able to purchase specific equipment for them. But I think the big thing was that we keep talking about autism awareness, and of course that's our name, Copper Country Autism Awareness, and the reason for awareness is just not to make the public aware that autism exists. The big thing is for parents of children with autism to let them know that there are resources. So we very early on in our development of our organization started a Facebook page, and we have a website where we provide a listing of resources available in our local area, and there are significant amounts. And it took us quite a while to really research this and find out. So we thought, well, if it took us this long to go to the intermediate school districts, the various health departments and things to find these things, we could shorten that problem for parents. So by putting all that information in one place on our website, should help out parents when they find out they do have a child that's been diagnosed with an autism spectrum disorder. They can go to our website and find out where they can get help.
And what's that website?
It's ccautismawareness.org.
Okay, and we'll give that again later in the program. Kathy, you mentioned a statistic, 1 in 68 children are diagnosed with autism. This number, it goes down, but I mean it becomes more frequently. Every time I hear it, I think the last time I had heard it, we're running some PSAs with Kurt Schilling talking about children, one out of every 110. Yeah. And, I know that PSA is only a few years old, but now we're at 68. Can you talk about that just as, from digging into this and in understanding why that number continues to increase?
Well, it's very, very interesting. In 2000, it was like 1 in 150. And in 2010, now this is, they haven't updated it, come out with a specific number since 2010. 2010, it became 1 in 68. So I think a lot of it has been diagnoses. Years ago, it was probably your child had some kind of real mental disorder before they really knew a lot about autism. So I think diagnosing it now, there's more cases. They realize there are much more cases of autism. And the spectrum is so large. I mean, it involves so many different Asperger's is a form of autism, and there's many different forms of it. It's very individualized.
Right, because it manifests itself differently. I have a cousin who has Asperger's.
And again, talking about the numbers, obviously our listeners can't see the chart here in front of us, but we have a chart that shows going all the way back to 1970, it was 1 in 10,000. And we can see how steep that's climbed. And like Kathy said, part of that is due to better diagnosis. We understand autism and can diagnose it better, but that's not the only reason. There is clearly, if we look at the more recent climb, like as recent as 2000, 1 in 150, and although the 2010 figures from the federal government show 1 in 68, I have seen numbers tossed around more recently, like 1 in 55. So it's definitely still increasing, and that's not due to diagnosis. That's due to more and more occurrences of autism.
No, and it's really statewide. There's many states that are very high percentage. Why? I don't know, but it's very interesting. If you look up a chart of states, how it goes, that percentage-wise autism.
And any indication of why there is a difference?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, they keep coming. Very regularly they'll come out with ideas of why, something that can cause autism or where they think it came from. But I don't think nothing's real specific yet. They're doing a lot, I think, more research with it, and not enough, but they are researching and trying to come up with why. The shots, the baby shots that had mercury in them and all this, and that years ago, there was many, many parents were very concerned about that. And I think they have done a lot with the shots, taking the mercury out and trying to give them at different dosages and such. So,
but they have done very, very extensive studies on that and have found absolutely no link between children getting their early childhood shots and autism. So, you know, it's an unfortunate thing, and we're seeing reoccurrences of some of these childhood diseases now because so many parents worried that if they gave their child these early childhood shots, they're going to end up with autism, and that clearly is not the case. And so that's creating another problem on its own. But
yeah, I remember that 20 years ago when my children were babies.
But they have worked on the shots too. They have taken the mercury out, and they have done things to improve greatly on the shots that they're giving to the babies. So that's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Now, with a frequency as often as one in every 68 children, inevitably what it means is at some point all of us are going to have somebody in our family that's affected by this disease. And as I said, I have a cousin with Asperger's, so it, you know, hits pretty close to home too with that. Can you talk about, for a parent, since your organization focuses on helping parents, what is it like in, you know, going through their days caring for an autistic child?
Well, I can only tell you my involvement with my son and my grandson.
Okay.
It's very tedious. And Charlie is on the milder end of the spectrum. Charlie doesn't speak. So you have to figure out what Charlie is trying to tell you. And luckily, he doesn't have a lot of meltdowns. But the behavior, it's repetitive behavior. It's a lot of times there's a delay when you ask Charlie to do something. There's a delay, like 30 second to a minute delay. He usually will go and do it then. It's a different world to live in. You learn a lot, and you appreciate so much more when Charlie gives you a hug, or Charlie gives you a high five, or Charlie laughs. You appreciate very much. You take many things for granted, and that goes for all special needs. I mean, not just autism. So, it's very, very difficult. It's a very difficult life. Very different. I mean, so that's why this all came about, to try to help, to try to, and to try to make people aware. If a child is having a meltdown in a store, I witnessed one this year of a very large child, size-wise, and I would say he was probably 15, 16 years old. He was in the grocery store, and I was in the back of the store, and it immediately brought me up front. And the moment that I looked, I knew exactly what was going on. A lot of people don't understand. They think this child is misbehaving and needs a discipline. But when a child with autism is having a meltdown, it's not about discipline. It's about calming him down. And they're having this episode because they don't know what's going on, or something is really bothering them and they don't know how to handle it. And that's their way of coping with it. So it's the parent's job and people around him to try to calm down the situation. So if you see this happening in a store, in a church, anywhere, take a look and see what the parents are doing. If you see a parent that's not yanking at this child or trying to discipline this child, then you might think, this child may have autism. and so many different things. You say hi to a child in a store and they walk right by you and just ignore you, and you think, oh, what a brat, you know. No, that's not the case. That's autism. They're not, lots of times they're not very social with people. They don't know how to interact with people. So please be aware, and even take a look online and study a little bit about it, and you'll see that the children are, they just want to be normal. They want to be able to go up to you and say hi. A lot of times they don't know how, or they just can't. So awareness is really a big part of me being in this organization, because I see what happens with Charlie, and it's sad sometimes, you know, like people will go up to him and say, how are you doing today? And Charlie doesn't talk. So what do you say? Do you, in front of him, have to say, Charlie doesn't talk, he has autism?
But he hears no. Just fine. So he knows what you're saying.
Absolutely. Yeah. He understands everything. Charlie does. Now, I'm not saying everyone with autism does, but Charlie does. So, you know, it's a very difficult situation for parents. Very difficult. And a lot of times that's why they don't take their children places, because they don't want to be looked at, and they're tired of people looking at them and their children like, what is wrong with them? It's, they're trying to deal with the situation.
That's kind of the primary reason that for our Family Fun Day, was the fact that so many parents who have an autistic child can't go to a carnival, for example, or go even shopping is can be a real disaster sometimes, because of their oversensitivity to light, to smells, to sounds. They walk into a store with people milling all over the place and they have a meltdown because they're just so overwhelmed by all the lights and everything that's going on around them. So parents who have a child in the family with autism find it very difficult, so they end up not being able to do a lot of things. So Family Fun Day was created for an event where parents don't have to worry if their kid has a meltdown, if they go into throwing some kind of tantrum. I had one parent just tell me recently, they said, the first time we went to Fun Day was last year, and came in there, and she said, I went into a panic when my son started to have a meltdown until he looked around and saw everybody was doing the same thing. And it made her feel so comfortable. And that's the idea, that the entire family can come and have fun, and they don't have to worry if their child has a meltdown or throws some kind of tantrum because they're a little bit overwhelmed, and they have a really, really good time once they kind of adjust everything. You know, last year we had for the first time our Fun Day at the Rock House, and with all the arcade games and everything, and we had them adjust the lighting, turn the sounds down, and it went off just great. The kids just had the best time ever. We got so many compliments on that Fun Day that we hope that we'll be able to continue that type of Fun Day in the future. So it's just nice, and we've looked into other things. For example, movies. There are several movie chains, national movie chains, that have regular movies showing times for autism, where they don't turn the lights down so far, they turn the sound down, and it doesn't then cause the child to be so overwhelmed. And we have been kind of looking into that. Hopefully that's something that we can be able to do here in the future, which would be a great thing. Now, all of a sudden, parents who haven't been able to take their child to a movie might be able to do that for on these special events. So those are the kind of things we want to do. These are the kind of things we're trying to help parents to live a more normal, in quotes, life, you know, because it does affect them so much. You know, and we have that so close hand, like we said, you know, with our little Charlie.
Now, being up here and participating in this over the last couple of years, as grandparents to Charlie, how has this helped you with, I guess, just carrying the burden? Because, you know, Charlie's in Florida, you're up here, but yet you're doing this for all the other parents, not necessarily for yourselves. You're doing it for everybody else. Right. As grandparents to Charlie, how does this help you?
I guess just the satisfaction of knowing what we see our own son go through, and knowing the difficulties they have. And like I said, Kathy had said earlier, when we first came, after having Charlie and then being up here, finding out that we just didn't know that there was anything available here, because you just don't hear of autism much in the Copper Country. And it's not because it doesn't exist. So we just felt that we really needed to do something. We can't help our son, our grandson Charlie, because we're here. But we just wanted to do something to help other parents. So because we it's very close to us, and like you said, you know, it's close to everybody. When it gets up to 1 in 68, or whether it's 1 in 55, no matter what the numbers are, we talked about it at our last meeting. There isn't any of us that doesn't know somebody that has been affected by autism, whether it be a neighbor, whether it be a family member, or a friend at church, or it's that prevalent. And so it's a really need to know basis. We need to know more about it. And the awareness thing is because awareness needs to be brought out there, because parents need to know that there is help, and the earlier the intervention, the better. They've had really, really good results by starting working with these children very early on. So an early diagnosis is important. And so often, and we know that again from our own son and Charlie, that they sometimes don't want to accept the fact that there's something wrong with their child, and delay turning for help. And that's about the worst thing you can do. You know, you can't stick your head in the sand and hope it'll go away. It's not going to go away. And there's been tremendous results. We brought a speaker in last year, Dr. Lewis, and he has a child with autism. And of course, he didn't know anything about autism when he had his child. And since then, he's become an expert in the field of autism. He studied it, he does specific treatments, but by the time he learned everything he needed to know, he wasn't able to help his own child. He said, I could have made a tremendous difference in my own child's life had I known then what I know now. So it's very, very important that early on, if you suspect anything, try and get a diagnosis. Find out what's going on, because there is help. We don't know if Charlie would be any different if he had gotten treatment earlier, but all indication is that possibly. Maybe he would be speaking. You know, and the children that don't speak often, heard several cases of this where they might talk, but they're really just echoing. Mm. You know, would you like some more cereal? More cereal. Well, you don't know if they really want more cereal or if they're just echoing. And that's typically what a lot of the children with autism do. They echo, they mimic what they hear. So you don't really know that, you don't really feel you're having a conversation. They're really answering. They're just mimicking what you just asked them.
Another thing that I would like to bring up are grandparents, elderly, retired people who are listening to us.
Don't say elderly. we're not elderly.
Retired.
We might be retired.
Retired. Grandparents, not grandparents, whatever. If you feel any interest in what we are saying, we would love you to come aboard. We need retired people that have a little more time to spend making phone calls, like I do, bugging Rick and bugging people to get on the air and get in the newspaper and make people aware. We need people very much to help out. And it's hard when you're a parent and you're working, and there just is so much time, 24 hours in a day, where retired people have a little more time to spend. So if there's anybody out there listening to us that would be at all interested in coming aboard, Mike,
could you,
helping in any way, you know, whether coming aboard as a board member or part of our organization, or just wanting to help out and volunteer at some of our events, or if you just have suggestions of things that we could do to help someone, or those types of things, there's several ways you can reach us. If you go to our website, again, it's ccautism, all one word, .org. And we have a tab at the top of the page, contact us. You can click on that tab and you can leave a message. And we're open to suggestions. We're here to help. And if you don't tell us how we can help you, we don't know. We're guessing. We're going by some, you know, we're learning through experience over the years and expanding our programs. But we really need to get more input from the parents. And there's another way. You can also email us at ccautism@cox.net. That's Cox, C-O-X.net. So you can email us anytime or go to our website and leave us a message there. And if you just want to get on our mailing list or anything like that, you can go to that website and get added to our list so that we keep you aware of any events. Go to our Facebook page and like us on Facebook, and anytime there's anything new posted there, you'll get a notice. So that's the best way that we can get information out to them, but we need feedback back from the general public as well.
All right, Mike and Kathy, thanks so much. My best to you, your son, and to Charlie, and thank you for, again, coming on the program.
Thank you very much, Rick.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.